As we head into this time of summer, we're going to be continuing in this book of Acts. Just to remind you, this is in some ways a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Even though John is in the middle of this, this is what is called Luke Acts. So whenever we hear a story, whenever we hear the voice of the one who's telling the stories, it may sound a lot like Luke because it was written by the same person. The themes, the ideas, the ways that a story is told is very similar because they're going to mirror each other. About 2 weeks ago, we listened to the story of Pentecost, about how it was that that the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles that were gathered and looked like kind of tongues of flame, and that they then made their way out into the streets of Jerusalem to preach and to teach, and that all people heard them in their own language. Everyone was able to understand. And so, when we make it to the way in chapter 3, this is the part that we understand to be the mission of the church. Jesus has come, he has taught the people, he has shared the experience, shown them what God's love looks like, lived out. They have now received the Holy Spirit, and now it is time for the church to do its thing. And so we're given this story today. Now, this story has a couple of parts to it, and I do hope that you hear these because they are important. Whenever Luke told a healing story back in that gospel, Jesus did a few things. One is he identified and came up and saw the person. We knew it was going to be an impressive healing because what is shared is how hurt or wounded or in need of healing this person is. This is not just someone who has tweaked their knee, who is dealing with a hamstring pull that we all know about because of like the NBA now. No, these are people, this person is crippled from birth. No one has been able to fix this. And that it's here that we continue with that same thing, that God, that there is an invitation from the healer to that one who wishes to be healed. And then the healing happens. And it's not just any kind of healing. This is not something that is just kind of, oh, okay, the person is now going to get better. But instead, you get the story that he jumped, he leapt up into the air. He was healed in such a way. And then there has to be at the end a reflection back onto that, to understand what happened. Other people need to see the healing as well. This story is a continuation of Jesus' ministry. But what's fascinating this time about this is, where is Jesus? Because in the past, we've looked at these stories, and Jesus was the healer. And so when we looked at it, we were either in one of two places. We were either the one who was sick in need of healing, or we were the person on the outside watching what was going on. But Luke has now included us in a way that is new. Luke has included us in this story is that we could now be the ones bringing the healing. And that really is the truth. We may have come into this space today, made our way in from the parking lot through those front doors, and come into this space. But I think it's important to understand the story and how it can reflect upon where we are today. There are a couple of things within this story that I don't know if you caught or not, but were reminded of me through some of the scholars that I looked at this last week. One of the first ones was, where is this person who needs to be healed? He sits on the outside of the beautiful gate, on the outside of the temple. What's interesting about that is that how often does our own hurt, our own pain, or have we been relegated to the outside of the community, outside of the church, outside of where God is seemingly living? This is something that is really interesting because Peter and John are going in and they come across this man on the outside. And after the healing happens, the healing continues by them taking him in with them. He was on the outside, laying there, unable to control his surroundings, unable to control his life, having to be carried each and every place, and essentially relying upon his living on the goodness and generosity of others. And it is here that Peter and John come across him. Now, what's fascinating again is, did you catch also as Kathy was reading that, that the first thing that they do is to acknowledge who this person is. They look at him and they see him and they ask him to look at them as well. This is a powerful moment in which this person who is seen as an outcast, who is seen as someone who is less than, is recognized. There is a beautiful experience that happens here that speaks to the power and what needs to happen within the church today. That we as the church need to examine and to look at whether we are those that are on the outside watching all this happening, whether we are the person at the side of the gate feeling the need of the healing that needs to happen, or we're the people that are making their way in that need to find a way to heal and to reach out to the world. We see what needs to be done and where the call is for the church today. What we need to be doing as a church is never more important than now. What's fascinating, though, is that throughout the years, as we've continued to see how we share that message, how we share the healing, how we receive healing, how we engage with God and live out our lives of faith, it has changed. One of the things as you came in today is you probably looked out onto the fields and you saw that the hay had been cut. Maybe some of you have noticed that the cows aren't there any longer. And you recognize that things are changing. We also know that things have been changing over the last year. How we share the story has changed. Over a year ago, we went to a fully Zoom service to protect people and to be aware of what was going on in our world and to be thoughtful for others. We went virtual in our worship. And so we continue to provide learning, teaching, and ministry and community, but in new ways. When we did come back, we first started outside in a morning prayer service at 9, out in the beautiful garden where we came together in safe ways. And now, after the vaccine has come about, we're able to come back together in this space. And even how we do it today is a little bit different. But what we do as the church, offering healing, receiving healing, calling out where healing is happening within the church, it is still very much the same. We've been doing this here on this spot for over 230 years. We're sitting on pews right now. Some of us are sitting on chairs. At times, they sat on wooden benches. Some people even used to come in a horse and buggy rather than a car. How we do things has changed. What we do has stayed the same. As we think about where we move forward in the life of this church, as we think about, again, naming what it is that we do, thinking about how we do it, I was reminded of some of the lessons that a futurist, speaker, thoughtful person, observer named Simon Sinek has invited us to think about, which is start with the why. Because what's interesting is that the hows that we experience in life, how we do things, what we use, and those products and the things that we do in life, the how changes throughout life. And the what we can find in different places. But the why is something that is the driving force within each and every one of us. And his call is to understand that that should be our beginnings rather than the what. Because once we understand the why behind it, that will drive the how, which shares the what. The disciples had seen so much as they journeyed with Jesus, following him from place to place, walking and talking, learning, experiencing, seeing Jesus lived out each and every day. And yet, when Jesus died and was resurrected and then ascended back into heaven, they were left on their own. And the question of how they continued, what drove them, I believe at the essence, is the why. What is your why that drives you? As we move forward as a church, never has that question been more important. If you've ever heard this sermon before preached, a lot of times people talk about the fact that this sermon usually stops at 10, at verse 10. They don't include that last chapter. And it's really the last sentence at the end. While the man who was healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's portico, utterly astonished. I wondered why they'd left that off. Because we always know that these little pieces that are picked, especially when it comes to the lectionary, and are picked in a way by just some person at some point in the line of history. Numbers were added much later. But what was fascinating about this, in the end, is that after all of this had occurred, the healer, the healed, and the observers came together to move forward. They were not alone. They did not disperse. They recognized that it was in that community that they would figure out what was next. I believe that it is in the supportive and loving and healed communities that we will together discover what is our why. Because here's the thing. It develops. It changes. It shifts. And yet at the same time, it is part of our very being. And most importantly, it's always discovered and deepened with others in supportive and loving Christ-like communities. Isn't that what Jesus was doing all throughout the Gospels, walking with these disciples, is helping them to discern and develop what that why was? Because it's one thing to think about the what. We can think about the what all day long. And the how, that's that little part of the processing that breaks it down and figures out how are we going to do the what. But that why. That why is the thing that makes us who we are. May we discover what that is together in this community and out these doors. Because that's what we're going to need to know moving forward. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.